What if everything you've been taught about your brain is wrong? For centuries, scientists believed our brains were fixed machines, with parts performing specific functions that, once damaged, could never be repaired. But an extraordinary scientific revolution has turned this view upside down. Our brains aren't hardwired like computers. They're constantly rewiring themselves based on our experiences, thoughts, and actions. This concept, neuroplasticity, challenges four centuries of established science and offers hope for conditions once thought untreatable. When we learn something new, our brain physically changes. When we practice a skill, the brain areas controlling that skill expand. Even thinking about an activity can strengthen neural pathways almost as effectively as performing it. This discovery transforms our understanding of everything from stroke recovery to learning disabilities, from aging to personal growth. It reveals that many incurable conditions may actually be treatable, and our potential for self-improvement extends far beyond what we previously imagined. But neuroplasticity is a double-edged sword. The same mechanisms that allow positive change can also reinforce unhealthy patterns. Brain circuits that fire together wire together, meaning our worst habits can become anatomically ingrained. Understanding both positive and negative plasticity reveals the true extent of human possibilities and challenges. Barbara Arrowsmith Young was born with severe learning disabilities from brain asymmetry. Her physical and cognitive asymmetries included a larger right hemisphere and difficulty grasping relationships between symbols, affecting her understanding of grammar, math, and logic. Most critically, she processed information in lag time, taking hours to comprehend conversations. In 1950s Ontario, Barbara discovered research showing rats in enriched environments developed enhanced brains. Inspired by this evidence of neuroplasticity, she designed intensive clock reading exercises using flashcards. After weeks of practice, she improved not only at clock reading, but also in grammar, math, and real-time comprehension. She now runs the Arrowsmith School, helping children strengthen specific brain functions. Cheryl Schiltz's case provides another powerful example. After losing her sense of balance to antibiotic damage, neuroscientist Paul Bakke-Rita developed a device sending balance signals through her tongue. The device's effects lasted increasingly longer, from hours to days to months. After a year of therapy, Cheryl permanently regained her balance without the device. Bakke-Rita's 1969 tactile vision device enabled blind people to see through their skin using a camera connected to vibrating stimulators on their backs. Subjects learned to read, recognize faces, and identify objects, experiencing these as visual rather than tactile sensations. This revealed our senses' remarkable plasticity. The skin could function like a retina because both form two-dimensional sensory surfaces. The brain's neuroplasticity allowed it to interpret skin sensations as visual images. Mrzenich's research showed that brain maps, cortical areas processing sensations from body parts, constantly change with experience. When he cut a monkey's median nerve, adjacent nerve territories expanded to claim the unused space, demonstrating the competitive nature of brain plasticity. This competitive principle explains why native languages dominate neural territory through frequent use, making new language acquisition harder for adults than children. Similarly, bad habits become entrenched through repetition, making them difficult to break. Mrzenich and Jenkins discovered that motivated learning physically enlarged brain areas, demonstrated when monkeys' fingertip brain regions expanded through practice. Neural efficiency develops in two phases, initial map expansion followed by neuron selectivity, explaining how pianists develop their refined touch. Their research showed brain changes required focused attention, not multitasking. This insight led to practical applications like Fast Forward, a program helping language-impaired children process speech at increasing speeds. A case study of 7-year-old Willie demonstrated the program's effectiveness. After 8 weeks, his speech perception and grades improved dramatically. Beyond language skills, children showed enhanced handwriting, attention span, and focus. IQ scores increased across multiple cognitive domains, with additional benefits observed in children with autism. At Harvard's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, Alvaro Pasqualioni's experiment revealed surprising results. People who only imagined practicing piano for 2 hours daily showed similar brain changes to those physically practicing, achieving comparable accuracy. After just one physical session, the mental practice group matched the 5-day performance level of the physical practice group. A powerful example is Anatoly Sharansky, who maintained his chess skills through 9 years in Soviet prison by playing mental chess. Upon release, he was the only Israeli cabinet member to avoid defeat against world champion Garry Kasparov. Imagining an action activates many of the same brain regions as performing it. When people visualize letters, their visual cortex activates as if actually seeing them. Research shows that merely imagining muscle contractions increased finger strength by 22% over 4 weeks, close to the 30% gain from physical exercise. Pasqualioni explains this brain plasticity using a sledding metaphor. Repeated actions create tracks that become more efficient but harder to change, explaining why habits become automatic through repetition. Dr. Michael Bernstein, a 54-year-old eye surgeon, regained function after a paralyzing stroke through Edward Taub's constraint-induced CI movement therapy. The intensive 2-week program enabled him to write again, return to work, and resume tennis, achievements deemed impossible by conventional medicine. Taub's treatment addresses learned non-use, where patients abandon affected limbs during initial recovery, weakening motor maps through disuse. His approach requires patients to wear mitts and slings on their unaffected limbs for 90% of waking hours, forcing use of the impaired side. The treatment proves effective for most stroke survivors with minimal finger movement, with 80% regaining substantial arm function, even years post-stroke. Similar principles applied to speech aphasia patients show significant improvement after just 32 hours of therapy. As we age, reduced learning of new skills leads to attentional system atrophy, creating fuzzy engrams and noisy brains where new memories struggle against background activity. The solution lies not in medication, but in targeted brain exercises that maintain plasticity through continuous learning and challenge. The neuroplastic revolution reveals that our brains are shaped by culture and sustained activities, not just genetics. Our brains differ significantly from our ancestors due to cultural evolution and modern skill demands. The sea gypsies of Burma demonstrate this plasticity. They see clearly underwater by controlling pupil constriction by 22%. Swedish children learn the same skill through training, proving it's acquired rather than genetic. Cultural practices create measurable brain changes. Musicians develop larger hand-related brain maps, especially before age 7. London taxi drivers gain enlarged hippocampi from navigation, and meditators develop thicker insulae through practice. Our brains adapt beyond genetic programming to modern needs. The existence of reading circuits, impossible to have evolved in literacy's brief history, shows how cultural activities create new neural structures. This adaptability lets us reshape our brains, recover from injury, and maintain cognitive function. Our future brain reflects today's usage patterns.